Well, Len, in the last week to 10 days, both you and I have been on the road and seeing golf in different parts of the country. You've been up to Georgia and the Carolinas. I've been down to Indiana and Indianapolis, and it felt good to get back out on the road, but it also felt a little bit different than normal being out on the road.
Yeah, you know, it sure did. I tell you, though, the important thing for me was that the golf was fine. The golf, there was none of this one player per cart. There was, you still had the styrofoam things in the hole so that you wouldn't put your hands in there. But, you know, tee times were fine. Everybody was having a good time. The difference is away from the golf course with the, in my case, we had, you know, it was a case of finding lodging and finding restaurants. And what was a little strange was you get done with your round of golf and you didn't go inside the clubhouse at the golf course because they were basically closed unless you wanted to get a beverage. And that was about it. You couldn't eat in there. So you had to go looking for restaurants and it took more planning, but I'm sure glad I got back on the road and got a little feel for this. My trip ended at a place you know is going to be good. We were in the Pinehurst area, played three courses there, the last of which was Pine Needles, which will in a couple of years be the fourth course and the first course in history to host four U.S. Women's Opens. We greatly enjoyed that trip. Looking forward to the next one, though I don't know quite when and where it's going
to
be.
I took off and went down to the Indianapolis area. First off, to scout out the brand new Indiana University course that has just opened. And the golf course is, I think, getting a different set of guidelines on their reopening schedule through the university, which, of course, is a state university. As a result, the golf course actually only had one co-ed bathroom open in the cart barn. There was no other bathrooms. The clubhouse was closed. There was no porta potties on the golf course. There was kind of limited options in that area. Also, the food was limited to out on a picnic table under a tent, box with small bags of pretzels, a box full of granola bars, and a bin full of ice water. But at least got to play the golf course, and the golf course is in great shape. And it was nice to see that it finally opened, even though it was 2.5 months behind the anticipated April 1st date that they had for this year. However, the other two courses I went to were in a different state of things. I arrived at Crooked Stick, the home of the Western Amateur, and it's great to hear that that tournament's going to happen at the end of July. It was the first day of sort of going back to the old normal, so to speak. People can ride in carts with whoever they want to ride with or not ride with, and the rakes were back by the bunkers. The flag sticks were there with no styrofoam in the cups. And it was sort of, if members or their guests had any concerns, they could wear a mask if they wanted to. They could take other precautions. But, you know, I was told that now that they learned that there's no way to catch the COVID by handling a flag stick or pulling your golf ball out of the hole, Crooked Stick was back pretty much running normal. The food operation was out and running as well. The pro shop was open, and there didn't seem to be a limit as to the amount of people that could be in it. And my final stop, the Fort Golf Course at Harrison State Park, one of the best state park golf courses I've ever played. There was still a few restrictions in place. A lot of people wandering through the pro shop, masks somewhat optional. But the final things, such as two people in the golf carts and rakes in the bunkers and styrofoam out of the golf holes, apparently is all going to take place on July 6th.
Well, July 6th is going to be a big day for golf in Illinois this year, because that's the day the Illinois PGA finally will be opening up its tournament season. Well, I guess they could say the only big events left are the Illinois PGA Championship. The Illinois Open would be the major one, and they're going to have a Players Championship and a match play later on. But the section was able to salvage its four majors. It missed a June, I've missed 3 months of what normally would be their tournament season. So that's a positive. It's good to see those guys will be back playing. And the local players are going, that feeds off. Even though you don't see a lot of people at these tournaments usually, the excitement is there. You read about it, you hear about it, and it's another step forward for golf in the Chicago area.
Well, what I did see is that there's some tournaments going on through the Wisconsin golf section, and it appears that some of the names we see at CDGA events were up and competing in Wisconsin. So good for them. Go play in the tournaments where you can find them. And I think Indiana is the same way. There's people from Illinois coming down there, where golf has really been on the upswing this year. Rounds are up everywhere. And whether or not that's from Illinois business crossing over, people just looking at golf as, hey, that's something we can do during these COVID-19 times. Also, kids are out of school, and so they're playing golf. Their parents, who might be working from home, might be able to duck out in the afternoon and go play golf with the juniors. So regardless, tee times are still a little harder to come by out in Indiana, even though they're foursomes. But due to the fact that it seems like there's more people playing or looking to play, it can be a little harder to get out on some golf courses.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me to remember that Nick Hardy, one of our local heroes for the last few years, both at the University of Illinois and then in his first couple of seasons as a pro, he could have stayed off in Arizona during when the pandemic hit, but he decided to come back and be with his family in April. And he did his keeping sharp routine in Indiana, in St. John, Indiana. And he played there about 15 times during the month of April, and then moved back to the Merritt Club where he is usually does his practice. And apparently he got a lot out of it because, he's had a great start to getting back to the Korn Ferry Tour. He keeps it going. He'll be a PGA Tour player at the end of the 2021 season when the next time cards are given out.
It looked like last week it was going to be a breakthrough victory for our former Illinois Open champion, Deerfield's very own Vince India. 25 under par after three rounds. That's a great score on any golf course anywhere. But unfortunately, the last round jumped up and got Vince. He backed up with a 4 over par 76. In fact, Nick Hardy, who you just talked about, started the day 9 shots behind Vince and caught him after shooting a 5 under par final round. So hopefully Vince will be able to put this behind him and move forward and still get that first win somewhere soon.
I was really sorry to hear about Vince. He had a real tough finish to the year last year and forced him to go back to qualifying school, and he made it back onto the Korn Ferry Tour. You know, he's 31 years old, so it's about time he kind of breaks through there. Another interesting story in golf was today. Kevin Streelman, who has been a pretty decent, he's won a couple times on the PGA Tour, but you know, since the pandemic returned from to the PGA Tour reopened, he's missed both cuts, and this week he's playing in Hartford, the Travelers Championship, where he had probably his best tournament ever, making, I think it was 2014, he made birdie the last 7 holes and went on to win. That was the last time he won a tournament out there. So hopefully that's going to be tonic for him again, because, he's a good player. He just got off to a bad start since the PGA Tour reopened this season.
Well, Kevin Streelman, actually, even though he did not make the cut at Harbortown last weekend, his second round was very good, a nice 4 under par 67, and he puts a couple of those together in Hartford, and you can bet he will be around for the weekend. In addition, there was some notable news coming out of Hartford, and it was actually some players that aren't going to be there. Cameron Champ testing positive for COVID-19, and a few other players, including Brooks Koepka, pulling out because his caddy has COVID-19. So a few players actually dropped out because of their caddies testing positive. There is a story out that some of the caddies all went together to a funeral, and that's apparently where they contacted or came in touch with COVID-19 and ended up testing positive for it. Webb Simpson, last week's winner, pulled out of this week's tournament. And I know some people, after they win, they like to take the week off, but Simpson learned that a member of his family, who was not specified, tested positive. Now, whether Webb Simpson had any contact with this person or not recently, since he was out playing last week, is unknown. But just to be on the safe side, and instead of going from his Charlotte area home and going all the way up to Connecticut and getting there and getting tested and find out he shouldn't be there and having to go home or go quarantine somewhere, Simpson elected to take the week off.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, it's unfortunate to hear that the players are dropping off from the pandemic after effects. In a way, the first two tournaments back to great fields. And, you know, there was time that you know, Brooks Koepka, what is an odd story there, because his brother, Chase, also dropped out after qualifying, after becoming a Monday qualifier at Hartford. So they all felt like, well, we should drop out for the good of everybody else around us, which, you know, Chase really needs to play. He needs to, get in. He wants to get up on the PGA Tour, just like Brooks is doing. So it was unfortunate the way that happened, but in a way, you know, this strange disease that's going around, it's going to touch. It's touched everybody. It's touched all sports. You're not immune to it because you're a professional golfer. We'll see it now that some other sports are getting going. I suspect we'll have, unfortunately, you see a little of that. With baseball and basketball and stuff when it's gets going in July. So it's unfortunate, but it's the times we live in, I think.
The story has been out, and it has not yet been supported by either the European Tour or the PGA of America, but there are some stories saying that the 2020 Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits up in Haven/Kohler, Wisconsin, will be pushed back to next year. So it remains to be seen if that's officially the case, but there are multiple stories saying that will be the case. So it'll be interesting to see how the makeup of the teams is next year. Will they take the players who would have been on the team this year and just keep them on the team a year from now, or will players have to earn points or get selected by the respective captains over the course of the next year and how they play?
Yeah, my understanding is that there will be an announcement made on that next week. Now, what that announcement will be, I'm not so sure, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they did push it back into 2021. The Ryder Cup, unlike the other tournaments, spectators are a great thing to have. We need them in golf. It's odd to watch a tournament without them, but you know, the Ryder Cup, they're so critical to the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup wouldn't be the Ryder Cup without, it'd be a TV show, and it wouldn't be a very good one, I don't think, if the pageantry, the emotions, the atmosphere of the Ryder Cup wasn't evident. Down the road, I guess they can't be sure if there would be spectators would be allowed at that time. Even though that's a long way off, it takes a lot to prepare for a Ryder Cup. And I know that they were going to start preparing Whistling Straits for that event. It takes a long time to get it all set up. And I guess there's no reason to start preparing for it unless you're very sure that there will be a competition. And right now, my guess is that they're thinking in terms of 2021.
Well, the build-up for the tournament on property was supposed to start in early June. It's been pushed back to July 6th is the start of the build-up as of right now. So I have to believe whatever decision they are going to make will be made before July 6th. There's no reason bringing all the workers to town to build the sky boxes and the scoreboards and the bleachers and everything else just to have them up there for several days and then tell them that take it all back down and and all of you can go home. There's not going to be a tournament this year. So we'll have to see how that ends up playing out as we go forward. The other thing, Len, that unfortunately we have to talk about is both you and I lost a really good friend this week. Jim McWethy, the owner of Mistwood, the Mistwood Golf Dome, and a few other businesses around town, passed away this week at the age of 76 from a condition that comes from the scarring of lung tissue. And it's unfortunate. Jim was not only a great guy, but he really transformed Mistwood and what was formerly called the Ditka Dome into the Mistwood Golf Dome. And realistically, that dome, there's several around town, but that's the premier dome in town. And Mistwood, he didn't just renovate the golf course. He turned a driving range into a performance center with quite a practice area, and really took a kind of a dumpy looking small clubhouse and really turned it into something really special that guests to Mistwood and or the members there could go enjoy.
Well, now this is my 51st year covering golf out of Chicago, and I can't remember anybody who's done so much for golf in such a short period. I mean, the Mistwood golf course is fine, of course it's fine, but it's the Illinois Women's Open. I mean, it's been the home of the Illinois Women's Open. Jim was very active in that. He kept that tournament going, and the club has become a real kind of a landmark in Chicago golf, as well as what was the Ditka Dome. He's touched golf as big tournaments were starting to come to Mistwood. They had the Women's Western Amateur, was there a couple years ago, and he's really going to be missed. I mean, he was there for really basically one club, but he was also a member of Chicago Golf Club, and as you see, bottom line, he was just a wonderful guy. I know I'm going to miss him. I'm sure the whole Chicago golf scene will miss Jim McWethy.
That's very well said, and you're right. You know, Jim was a member at Chicago Golf, and, you know, he could have enjoyed going there and playing golf with his friends, and instead he spent a lot of money to give back to the public golfer and create a facility that golfers, and it didn't matter, juniors, seniors, men, women, whoever, could just come there and enjoy themselves and have a first-class experience. And that's exactly what Mistwood has evolved into. So hopefully his two children and general manager Dan Bradley, who Jim tells me Mistwood is in good hands with them. Hopefully it is, and we'll hope that it continues to go forward and the family will do things that Jim would have been proud of, probably would have done himself if he was still here and had the chance to do them.
Yeah, we've all got to kind of think of ways to adequately give Jim a send-off here. Jim, remember Jim McWethy. It's what he did requires more than just a fond farewell upon his passing. He's become a giant in Chicago golf, and I've been thinking about him a lot lately since the word of his passing came up, and I know that we've got to honor the memory of Jim McWethy in a very special way. We'll be thinking about it.
There is a upgrade to our golfing restrictions here starting on Friday. And I believe the caddies will be able to come back out, and there'll be more people riding together in golf carts and being able to hit balls in all the different stalls on the driving ranges. And we'll have to take a look how the first weekend and the first few days of the new phase goes when you and I catch up next week for volume 16.